The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today with my friend Shelley Russell. We've been discussing raising an infant. Now, Shelley, in our last program, just toward the end, we got on the subject of what happens when you go into the bathroom to take a shower. Would you repeat what you said Julia does?
Yes, Julia does not like it when I take a shower because she's not involved in the process, of course. And she will stand outside of the shower and cry and scream and try to look in the shower until I am done. And the whole time I'm getting ready, she will cry.
Why didn't you just close the bathroom door?
All the information that I had read mentioned bringing your baby with you wherever you were so that they could see you and be secure.
This whole thing of security indicates how insecure the world really is. I think God has created mothers and fathers with natural instincts of how to be good fathers and how to be good mothers. And if you really love your child, I think that your common sense is going to tell you probably a great deal more than the books. One thing I do want to mention here, since we've discussed the shower curtain business, that's the issue of modesty and privacy. I certainly don't think that there's something immoral about a one-year-old little girl watching her mother take a shower, but I think you ought to have some quiet time yourself. I think you ought to be able to have some privacy. When you go into the bathroom, you ought to be able to close the door. And if Julia screams outside the door, then it's very clear to me that you need to train her to be by herself, to realize the security that she has in you is that you're not going to abandon her. You're right there. She knows where you are. You will be back, and you do love her. And you come back out, and you give her a hug, and maybe take her to the kitchen with you or whatever you're going to do. The greatest thing that the child needs is the knowledge that the mother is there, and the mother is not going to abandon them. And every time they're out of your arms doesn't mean that they have been abandoned. Rocking time is important. And, of course, breastfeeding is the most wonderful, intimate period when 5 or 6 times a day, the baby is held as closely as a baby can be held physically to the mother. That is a wonderful way of indicating security. Every time you smile at your child, every time you touch her or hold her in any way, you are reassuring her that you're there, that you love her, and that what you want to do is to make her happy. And another thing which I think establishes security, second only in importance to the physical expressions of love for a child, is the schedule itself in giving the child security. A child is amazing at learning very quickly, very early, that certain things are going to happen at certain times. And he will get used to that. If you've ever raised a puppy or a kitten, you see the same thing. The puppy gets used to his place of sleeping. He gets used to the times of feeding. He gets used to, if he hears the leash rattle, he knows he's going to go out for a walk. And I often say to young parents, if you want a good practice before you have a baby, the thing to do is to get a puppy. And if you can't agree on how you're going to raise that puppy, you're going to have a lot of trouble when you raise that child. But the schedule, far from instilling a rigidity, actually, I believe, it instills security.
Going back to the privacy issue and having your baby be outside of the bathroom while you're taking a shower or going to the washroom, I've read that your child doesn't know yet that they are separate from you, that they're a separate individual, so that when you leave the child, they
feel abandoned, right?
Right.
They feel abandoned. But if you conform to everything that the child wants you to do, all you're doing is perpetuating that idea. Now, Shelley, as you know, I lived with primitive Indians in the jungle for many years, and I watched the way those Indians took care of their babies. Now, the mothers generally carried the baby in a sling, or the Alka women didn't even have slings. They just literally carried the babies dangling by the neck from their hips. I mean, the mother clamped the baby to her hip with her wrist, and the baby was just sort of dangling there. So they were in physical contact with their mothers pretty much all the time for the first year, until they were weaned anyway. But the time had to come when they were rather forcibly separated from their mothers, because they would be left home in the house and their mothers would go out for hours into the jungle. And of course the babies would scream to start with, and they were usually being taken care of by a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. Those were the babysitters. I would say that it's much less traumatic for a child if you gradually begin from the very beginning. Say on day one, when you come home from the hospital, and you can try this on number two, it's too late for Julia, but there comes a time when you put the baby down on his little tummy, and you pat him, and you talk to him, and you leave him. And very likely he will cry. But that doesn't really go on for very long. If there are regular times during the day when he knows he is going to be left. And one of the obvious times when a child Julia's age, who is running around, should know that she is going to be separated from her mother, is when her mother goes into a room and closes the door, whether it's the bathroom or the bedroom or the study. I have a little study, and I like to go in there and close the door. Now, I don't have any small children around, but when my daughter was a toddler, I was doing desk work. We lived in the jungle, but I did have a desk, and I lived in a house with walls for part of the time. And she knew that when I sat down to that desk, she did not have my attention, and she could not have my attention unless there were some emergency. Well, there weren't any emergencies. She knew that when I said to her, "Valerie, I'm working," she had to find something to do. She had to entertain herself.
I think the thing that I hear sometimes from older women is, your child is manipulating you. You know, you cannot let your child manipulate you. And so, because I want to hold my child, and it angers me a little when somebody says, "Your child's manipulating you," I don't believe that's right either. Do you think that a little child can manipulate you? Would you use that term?
Yes, I would. It's not a very nice term, and I can understand why you would feel angry about it, because a child really isn't supposed to be manipulating the parents, nor are we to manipulate the children in our training. We are to love them enough to say no to them, to say no in closing a door when you need privacy or quiet. And you suggested, can't remember whether it was on the air or whether it was in our conversation, that you said to me that the children, you know, if you closed a door, they would destroy the house.
That's correct. Most of my friends, if they come into my home, before I had Julie, I had knickknacks all over, and they would just take them off the tables and put them on the piano.
The mothers would.
They'd say, "I don't want them to destroy anything in your house." And one time I had two children over at my home, and I was afraid to keep them out of eyesight. They marked on my wall and on one of my chairs with a crayon. They sprayed my table with water. And
did the mothers do nothing?
No, the mothers get angry. They also get exasperated. I don't think they are quite sure as to what to do. And we are so afraid of being embarrassed in front of each other. We all want to parent so perfectly, and I think we're afraid sometimes of our children and how they embarrass us.
So, what's the solution?
I believe it's what we've been discussing, is just training the child that there are limits. They need to learn that. Because when they, as you mentioned, when they go to somebody else's home, you don't want to have to go in their home and race to put all of their things up. The other thing that I have friends do is they come in and they say, be gentle, and allow the child to touch that. Do you think that the child should even be allowed to touch it if they are gentle?
No. I think that you are putting a temptation too great for the child to bear. There should be things about which, from the first day when he begins to crawl and starts to touch things that you don't want him to touch, things about which you say no. I don't think you want Julia pulling books out of the bookcase, do you?
No, I don't.
You certainly don't want her tearing the pages of your books. And that was the crucial point of testing when my daughter Valerie began to crawl. First thing she wanted to do was to pull books out of the bookcase. We didn't have much else that was worth anything in the jungle. We had no fancy pieces of china or crystal sitting around. But the bookcase was a no-no. And when she crawled across the floor and started for the bookcase, my husband Jim said, "Valerie, no. There have to be some negatives. And that's not a bad thing, and you're not destroying a child's self-image or his security or anything else." Once again, let me remind our listeners, Shelley and I are not talking as professionals, and I certainly have not studied nearly as much child psychology as Shelley has. I'm just a mother and a grandmother, and I hope that you will find that her questions and some of my answers may be helpful to some of you. They're not necessarily the law of Sinai.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.